Welcome to the Colombian Football Podcast. This is a special program about how Colombia qualified to the 2014 World Cup. We will be talking about every game of the qualifiers, key players, and the three different managers Colombia had throughout the tournament. Enjoy it. Hello, my name is Diego Romero. Welcome to the second season of the Colombian Football Podcast, possibly the only English language pod talking about Colombian football. Let me introduce today our guest very quickly. We have Herman Flores. He's from Colombia, he's a lawyer from National University, and he loves football. Tell us about yourself a little bit.
Yes, indeed. I really love football. All my connection with football started when I was a kid, and I worked for the first season, so I think this is a really interesting project about the Colombian football.
Excellent. And then we have Luke from the UK. How about you, Luke? How are you? How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm pleased to be here. I'm from Cambridge. I've been connected to football since I can remember, playing, watching, supporting. My team is Sunderland AFC.
Who do you support here in Colombia?
Sunderland AFC is my team. In Colombia, I haven't decided, really. I'm going to stay neutral, stay on the fence.
Okay, that's cool. What about you, Herman?
I support America, the Cali.
Okay, how are you guys doing in the second division?
It's really tough.
You're in the first place right now, right?
No, because we started the finals yesterday. And we're in the second place. We had a really tough game away. We almost lost. I don't know how it's going to be, but we keep the hope that maybe we can get promoted for the next season.
Okay, a couple of weeks ago, Colombia finally qualified for the World Cup after 16 years. It was a big celebration in Bogota and all over Colombia, right? Where do you guys watch the game against Chile?
I was flying back, like pre-game. I arrived just for kickoff into the airport. So I missed the first half. So I heard it was 3-0 and it was a bit depressing. And we got into the taxi and the first goal went in. The penalty was given. We arrived at my house, ran upstairs. And there was euphoria when the third goal went in. It was a big surprise.
Great, and I know you, Herman, were actually in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah, definitely. I had everything prepared for the game. Friends, place. I was prepared for a big, big party. And then I had an appendicitis. So yeah. I had a surgery just 2 hours before the game. And I was like asleep, but once I woke up, I just asked the doctor, what time was, and it was just the time of the game. And I asked him for the radio, he brought it to me, and I watched it. I listened the whole game. It was really special to listen the whole game because I thought when we were losing 3-0. Oh my God, I am in the hospital with a lot of pain.
Just let me die.
But then with Columbus, so like making goals was like something really special. And I remember that the nurse were like checking my heart. And when Columbus scored the third goal, she said, "Calm down, guy.
Calm down. Okay, those are awesome stories. Mine is not actually that special. I was just watching the game with a couple of friends, and then once the game was finished, just like went to a nightclub and just got drunk. That was pretty much it. Okay, yeah. Colombian finished second in the South American qualification with the highest ever point record in the World Cup qualifying history. And the fewest goals conceded in the campaign. That was quite outstanding, but not everyone seemed to be happy with the team. What do you guys reckon about that?
The team has a lot of strong points. I think there's a lot of pace, there's a lot of power, there's a lot of creativity, but is prone to defensive mistakes, lacks of concentration. And there's players in the team who always have an error in them, I feel.
Yeah, I agree with Luke. I think Colombia has a really good attack, but a really weak defense when they are not really aware of the talent of our rivals. And we experienced that against Uruguay, against Chile at the end. So we were like, we had no consistency in our defensive system. And it could like make a lot of trouble for us in the World Cup. So it's something that definitely we have to correct in the future.
Yeah, that's actually what everyone's been talking about. Like, our defense is not the best, even though we have this record with the fewest goals of the campaign. But, you know, qualification goes for 2 years almost, right? And it's understandable that the team didn't look consistent throughout the whole competition. It was injuries, red cards, lack of form from some players, and some other factors. But also, the manager was changed twice. First, we had Bolillo Gomez, and he was fired under some circumstances that we all know. And then Leonel Alvarez took over for the Bolivian game. That was actually playing La Paz. What do you have to say about this game?
Well, it was a really good start for Colombia, because historically we haven't got good results in La Paz because of the altitude.
Not very, actually.
No. Normally, when we had good results, we pick up a point there.
Yeah,
maximum. But it was a really amazing game. We played well. It was the first game for Leonel Alvarez. After that game, I thought, oh my god, this guy is impressive. He's like, transmit his energy that he had when he was a player to the players of the team, and thanks to that, we won the game with a lot of like tempo, I would say.
Yeah, Falcao wasn't playing in the first place in this game, and everyone was talking about that. Even when Bolillo Gomez was in charge, he wasn't playing Falcao in his right position. That was actually something that nobody understood, because at the time he was already at the top of his game.
Yeah, Falcao is a Colombian icon. He's the player people associate with the team, so if he's not playing in his right position or not playing at all, then people are going to scratch their heads. They're going to be confused about why. He's an effective player. He's an outstanding goal scorer. So to not utilize him as his best used is strange.
Yeah. I guess he's a natural leader of Colombia, like sometimes, I guess. And when he's not playing, it's just like you can definitely feel that he's missing.
Actually, we could see that thing in the Bolivian game, because he didn't start in the lineup. But when he came to a pitch, he just scored the goal in the last minute.
Yeah.
With an amazing.
And who scored the goal?
First one was.
I got it here actually. Dorlan Pavón.
Dorlan Pavón.
Yeah.
But he missed like 3 or 4 goals
he didn't have much luck in the beginning.
Yeah.
He was kicking all around, and then at the end he nailed it. I mean, he actually scored the 48 minutes. Then what the Flores from Bolivia scored 85, and then we were like, damn.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
Yeah, we showed there in that game also that our defense were not that good, because I remember this Walter Flores game. We had a really big mistake in the middle line. We lost the ball. Nobody like put pressure on that guy, and he just shoot outside the box. And in La Paz, everybody knows that the ball is faster.
It's not faster, yeah.
Of the altitude and the score. So defensive problem started there.
And then Falcao got into the game in the 79th minute, and then he's going in the 90th minute. That makes sense, right? Okay, then we played Venezuela home, right? We ended up being very disappointed because Falcao got injured before the game, so we didn't have him for this game. And yeah, it was a game that we should have won. We actually played better than Venezuela, right?
Yes, indeed. Colombia had so many chances in that game, and we were so unlucky that we just scored one goal, because I think the Venezuelan goalkeeper like stop saved like 5 or 6 clear chances to score. I remember also that it was like a rainy day in Barranquilla. We played it at night instead of playing at 3 p.m. And then we had another defense mistake. Unbelievable. Amaranto Perea just like fell down and a Venezuelan striker just scored with the in an easy way. So I think sometimes you can like concede games, but not in that way. Not in that way. When Venezuela didn't play anything, and because one mistake, you lose 3 points. That maybe at the beginning of the qualifier, you cannot see how important they could be, but at the end, when you are like just fighting about for one yeah. or 2 points, is when you say, why?
We should have draw or lost this game, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, this game where Colombia scored an early goal, the stadium gets a big lift. Barranquilla's got an incredible atmosphere when Colombia are doing well, and then to concede late on to a Venezuela team who didn't do much during the game, it was a big blow. I felt as a, watching the game and the people I was watching with, it was a big blow.
Yeah, in this game, Fleguin scored the first goal at the 11th minute. And then Fletcher from Venezuela is going to the 78th, so that was actually at the end of the game. That was kind of painful.
Yeah, especially if I say Colombia had like so many chances and Colombia didn't take advantage of it, they didn't score the goals. And I think it was the beginning of the end of Leonel Alvarez as a national manager. Definitely.
Yeah, because after that, it was Argentina we were going to play in Barranquilla. It's always a really difficult game. It's Argentina. We had for that team, we didn't have Falcao either because he was injured. So we have Ospina, Zúñiga, Yepes, Mosquera, Armero, then Aguilar, Rodriguez, Pavón, Bolívar, Ramos, and then Jackson Martinez, who was the only forward in this game. And it was actually a disappointing game as well. That's when everyone starts thinking like, oh, come on, we are not going to World Cup again.
Yeah, we were lucky because we won against Bolivia. So we had like some savings in our bank account. But it was a big mistake not to win this game. And as you say, Argentina is Argentina, and everybody can lose against that team. It's something that you have to take into account.
Yeah, against Argentina, Colombia took the lead against the run of play, and it was just a fluke goal, I seem to remember. And then it was the question of whether they were going to be able to hold out. It was a question about the defence. And as it turned out, that it wasn't strong enough. The quality of Argentina's attacking force was too much in the end.
Yeah, because they have Lionel Messi and Sergio Aguero, and they were actually the ones who scored in 60 and 83 minutes, so that was it. But that was actually a score that we can expect, right?
I have to point you out something, guys, is that Argentina, until that game, were playing really, really bad. Actually, Isabela didn't get good results. If you remember, they lost against they draw against Bolivia at home, and they lost against Venezuela. So they had to win against Colombia, and they start losing in the first half. So Colombia had everything to like really go ahead in the qualifier. But when you are playing against Lionel Messi, Sergio Aguero, you really have
you cannot give advantages. Yeah, definitely. Okay, we've been talking about the defense a lot. Let's see what's the difference between the three games. So in the first game we play Yepes, Perea, Vallejo, Armero. Vallejo, someone that I didn't expect to be there. Zúñiga, Yepes, Mosquera, Armero for the second game, and then for the third game we play Yepes, Mosquera, Perea, Armero. So I noticed that Zúñiga was not playing that game either. The last one, was he booked?
Yeah, I think he was suspended or injured, but put Vallejo was like a mistake, I guess. And I remember he said that Messi was not as good as people think. You cannot say something
I don't know,
like that.
I don't know if you do remember that. That he said he's just a normal player. He never came back to the national team. Okay, after that, Leonel Álvarez got fired, right?
Yeah.
Why did he got fired?
I think because not because of the results, because like 4 points in three games is not the best thing, but it's not that bad, that terrible. However, he didn't manage the team. He couldn't like make good substitutions, and he was like loose in the game. He was desperate, and everybody was aware of that. I think it was a really bad image for a national manager, and I think that was the big reason he got fired.
Yeah, he actually did a really good campaign with Medellin, and he ended up being champion, but then that was it, right? I mean,
he won a reality.
Yeah, he won a reality in Colombia. There's some more points for him. But that was pretty much it. So on the bench of the national team, he looked kind of a rookie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Then
after like few attempts, we tried to hire Gerardo Martino, but he actually just quit from Paraguay. I guess he didn't want to take like national team. So we hired Jose Pekerman. I think it's like a great signing. He's well known for being 3 times world under 20 champion, and
yeah,
he went with Argentina to the World Cup in 2006.
Yeah, he got the quarter final and he lost by penalties against
yeah.
the local.
Against the local. Yeah. He did pretty good actually. Yeah. Do you guys have like any? Do you guys know Jose Pekerman in the UK?
Yeah,
he kind of
Jose Pekerman's got, he's got national pedigree, he's a solid international manager. He did a good job at Argentina, so when the news was announced that Colombia were going to be managed by him, then I was very encouraged by that appointment. I felt, as we mentioned, Lionel Álvarez was inexperienced on the sideline. He seemed out of his depth. He wasn't given much time, but he didn't look the part, which is really important as a national manager.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it was kind of unfair to put him even in that situation to be the national manager. I think he wasn't ready. But you cannot say no to the national team. So yeah, it was kind of a little bit like...
And especially if you see what was Lionel Álvarez as a player. A warrior, always a guy who take challenges. He won a reality.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he won the Colombian Survivor, so he's kind of a badass.
He's more of a Roy Keane on the sidelines.
Yeah, it's sort of that. Yeah, they actually play in the same position.
Yeah, kind of temperament, it's dangerous as a national team.
Yeah.
You don't want to be embarrassed.
No, the thing is that after missing 3 World Cups, you want to miss the 4th World Cup in a row.
Okay, so then Jose Pekerman took over. He played a friendly game against Mexico, and we actually played really well. I remember
Yeah. Cuadrado scored really well.
Yeah,
good.
Really nice.
And you know, and we were really tired of losing against Mexico in every competition. American Cup, friendly games, under 20. We always lose against Mexico.
Yeah.
Then we won 2-0 with a really good football. It was like a good signal for Jose Pekerman.
Yeah, everyone was actually excited. But then we played Peru, and the game was horrible.
Yeah, the goalkeeper was like the main of the match. Mm-hmm. Pretty much. He saved like 7 or 8 goal opportunities from Peru.
Yeah, I think we have like 2 attempts in the whole game, and then we score 1.
But away games is what you have to win, in especially in South American qualifying. If you pick up points away and stay solid at home, then that's when you qualify. Peru's a difficult place to go, and to scrape a 1-0 win is what you need.
Yeah, not many teams pick up points in Peru, so I think it was a really important result. And yeah, we didn't attack that much, but we scored the goal. We have like almost 50% effective. So I think it was important for Pekerman like to start winning.
Yeah, to start winning. Mm-hmm. And yeah, okay, in that game, James Rodriguez scored the only goal in the 51st minute. And yeah, that was pretty much it. There's not much to say about that game, actually, that we played ugly, but we won.
Yeah,
and that's important.
I think from that game, we were again confident in the goalkeeper, because I remember before nobody was sure about the goalkeeper.
And I was one of them.
He
I was totally one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he looked, not insecure, but he didn't have that like extra thing that you ask for a like national goalkeeper. And he was just a regular goalkeeper, and at the time he was like 23. He was young. But I think now he's just like top.
Yeah.
He's my favorite keeper ever. I love him. No, honestly, he's been amazing in the last games, and he gave us that confidence that we need as our supporters, right? Then we play Ecuador, and we didn't improve, right? For that game, it was a terrible game. Goalkeeper was the man of the match again, and we make couple of mistakes, and then we ended up losing 1-0 against Ecuador.
Yeah, I think Pekerman made a really big mistake, because he changed the tactic. He put like 3 defenders, 3-5-2.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing here. He got Perea, Yepes, and Mosquera.
Yeah,
and
3
then,
defenders.
Yeah, and then he got Armero, but we all know that Armero is supposed to be a defender, but he's always attacking. So and then Rodriguez, Pavón, Guarín, Soto as a defensive midfielder, and Falcao was the only striker.
Yeah,
and it didn't work.
We have shown this qualifier that this tactic has been this 3-5-2. Never worked for Colombia.
No, it
never.
I don't know if
for Colombia.
Yeah, yeah. It's like we are not used to that, I guess. So it has never worked.
And against Ecuador was terrible. We couldn't like have the ball for more than 1 minute, because once we recovered the ball, we lose it again. And the goalkeeper was always saving goals and sending the ball, like throwing the ball really, really to nowhere. So everybody was like concerning about Pekerman in that game, because I remember most media journalists start like saying maybe Pekerman is not as good as we expect. We had the worst game in the qualifier, even the worst than against Argentina.
Which it probably was, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a foul.
And then Pekerman decided to implement a silence policy. He didn't speak with the media for almost 6 months. Yeah. What in your world when?
And actually, the press was kind of upset about that.
Yeah.
So they started like trash talking about him and yeah. So that was a difficult time of Colombia. Okay, guys, this is the end of the first part. In the second part, we will be talking about when Colombia started playing really well. So we'll be back in a few minutes.
Colombian Podcast is the only pod in English talking about Colombian football. You can listen to us on a weekly basis at worldfootballdaily.com.
Welcome back to Colombian Football Podcast. Now we are going to carry on with the Colombian games. Last game we talked about was Ecuador-Colombia, which was a really good game for Colombia. But then, a couple of months later, we played Uruguay home. What happened in that game?
Well, I think it was really good that Beckerman didn't talk with anybody because he was really concentrated on his work, and we experienced a change of mentality for every player, and probably against Uruguay we played one of the best games of the qualifier. We scored four goals. It was a complete party in Barranquilla because we played well, we scored goals, we didn't have problems in the defense, and the stadium was totally full. We start like to think about the World Cup and in that part.
I think it's very important that you were saying the mentality was the most important thing, I guess. Like before, we were waiting for the other team to see what they're gonna do to us, and now we are like thinking about this is our game, this is the way we play, so you have to play my game, and that's what happened in Colombia against Uruguay. I know the temperature was really high and that like helped us a little bit, but it was a really good game.
Yeah, and again, they scored an early goal, but this time instead of the difference between this and the Venezuela game was they backed it up. They scored again before half time, and then they finished the job, which was very important. It was a massive confidence boost for the whole team and for the whole country.
Okay, I want to point something out that from here we didn't have Mosquera anymore at the defense, and then we got Edwin Valencia, which I think was the key player for like most of the good games of Colombia.
Definitely, you're right, because Valencia gave Colombia the balance in the middle. Because he is a really good defender, but he's really good with the ball. He always makes the right pass to.
First pass,
yeah.
That is really important for playmakers.
And when you get the ball in the middle of the pitch, and then you pass the ball correctly, then you have a lot of chances to score, and because you don't expect like a defender to start an attack, and it was basically what Valencia does normally.
Yeah, so in that game we had Falcao the 2nd minute scoring, then we had Teofilo Gutierrez at the 47th minute, then Teofilo again in the 51st minute, and then Juan Camilo Zuniga in the 90th minute, which was my favorite goal, which is amazing, which is like showing his skills. He's very fast, he can play with the team, and he was actually my player of the game that game.
Yeah, and we had this 4-4-2 system that
they always work in Colombia, right?
Yeah, definitely. And also that is a good point for Beckerman, because before that game nobody throws on Teofilo, because he's not like the best guy of the town.
Yeah, kind of funky, yeah.
Yeah, but Beckerman always throws on Non-Teofilo, and he scored twice.
Yeah, something to point out as well is that the strikers were the ones who scored the goals, and that's very important. That means that the actual team is working at the way it should be, right?
Yeah, you could see the improve in the Colombian system. They improve defenders, midfielders, and strikers, and they found a balance between all the players. That's why we won.
And there's a lot of Colombian strikers around the world scoring goals, so you have to have faith that if the midfield can find the balance in the midfield and find the supply to the strikers, then if you put Falcao or Jackson or this wealth of strikers, then there's going to be goals.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, in this game we had, I already say who scored the goal, but we didn't have any centre-off. Okay, then we fly to Chile, and that was a really special game for us, right?
Yeah, it was the best game of Colombia.
That's what most people say. Yeah. You watched that game, Luke?
Yeah, I watched this game.
What do you remember about it?
The game was turned on a red card, huh?
The Chile. Yeah.
Vidango?
It was Gary Medel.
Medel. He was doing very well at Cardiff. He's a very good player, but yeah, he got a sent off, and then Colombia.
He always gets sent off.
Relentless after that.
He can control his temper, and yeah, but we had like a no good memories from Chile, because over the last 2 or 3 qualifiers, we lost them. And we
even
lost
here,
like
4-1, yeah, that's right.
Last game at home, we lost 4-2.
Yeah, it was kind of our revenge, definitely.
Yeah. And we started losing, but we didn't play bad in the first half. So I knew something was going to happen, because when were you playing good, and then for some accident, you receive a goal, you say, okay, there is something to fight with. And we started with a really good goal of James Rodriguez. He took like a free kick for almost 50 yards, I don't know, 20 meters?
30 meters, something like it was outside the box, yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was nicely done.
And he put it on the back left post. The goalkeeper couldn't do anything. And we equalized the game. Then I knew we were going to win. Something was telling to me, because Chile was lost on the game, not just because of them and then sent off, but because they didn't know how to do with the ball, and Chile was the leader of the, or one of the leaders of the qualifiers until that game. So I think it was really important for Colombia to win there, and everybody started like to really thinking about Brazil 2014.
Yeah, I remember that game. We start like Gary Medel got sent off, and then we were losing the first half. But I remember that Peckerman thought we could win this game because we were playing well and we actually have one more player. I remember Yepes was booked. At some point, Yepes was going to be sent off because the referee wanted to balance out that, right? So, Peckerman was being clever, and he got Yepes out of the game. He put Cuadrado in, and then he moved Valencia into the first line, into the defense. And then the team was all about attacking. It was 45 minutes attacking. So then that's why we scored 3 goals, which is like logical. And it actually worked. And
one good thing, when Falcao and Teofilo scored it again, so the strikers did their job again.
Did the job again, yeah, that's right. Okay, so in the first half, Matias Fernandez scoring the 41st minute, then James Rodriguez equalized in the 58th, then Falcao in the 73rd, and then Teofilo Gutierrez 3 minutes after. And that was it. Then we came back home and we played Paraguay. You guys remember that game? It was a difficult game, I remember. Yeah. It wasn't as clear as the one before, as the Chile or Uruguay one.
No, because this game was several months after the Chilean game. And Paraguay didn't do well the whole qualifier, but they have chances. They still have chances in the Colombian game. And Paraguay is never easy. It's never easy. Even if they are on the bottom of the table.
Well, they have great players.
Yeah. And Colombia didn't play that well. However, Falcao scored two super goals, from my opinion. The best goals of Falcao he scored in that game. First one, he did his classic dribble in the box, and he just stopped, and then the defender just like passed through, and then he changed his foot and put the ball into the corner of the goal. I don't know, do you remember that?
Yeah, Paraguay always tough. I mean, I remember them going to the finals of the Copa America without scoring goals, just 0-0.
Yeah.
They're a very difficult team to break down, and it took something special from Falcao to do it this time.
Yeah, I remember Falcao that time, like right maybe like 2 weeks before or something, he already won the European Cup, scoring 3 goals against Chelsea.
Yeah.
And before that, he scored another two Super Cup, it was Super Cup actually. And he won the Copa del Rey, and then he scored another 2 or 3 goals. So he was on fire at the time. And he actually, like the first or the second goal, I don't remember which one, was exactly the same as the one he scored in the Super Cup.
The first goal.
The first goal. Yeah,
exactly the same that he did to Chelsea, exactly the same that he did to Athletic de Bilbao
in the final of the World Cup. Yeah, it was just awesome. Yeah, he was just on fire, killing. Okay, then we played Bolivia. I guess that was an easy game.
5-0.
Yeah, 5-0. We played well, but like Bolivia didn't do much. I remember, like Bolivia playing away is always like the game you have to win. Otherwise, you just can't go
I remember that there were a lot of controversy because Colombia played a friendly game against Jamaica or some Central American team before in the United States. Trinidad and Tobago.
Okay, yeah, one of those. Yeah,
Everybody was like saying Colombia shouldn't play against that kind of rivals, but Beckerman says we're gonna have Bolivia. We need like some team with similar features, and Beckerman proved he was right because we scored 5 goals against Bolivia because the players like took that game seriously.
Yeah. Bolivia aren't the same opposition as the away as the home, but we still got to do the job. No game is easy in these qualifying, and 5 goals is an impressive haul. It's a big boost.
Yeah, so who scored in that game, Diego?
Okay, yeah, that was what I was actually checking, because again, the strikers score. That's what we always expect. But also Magnelli Torres is scoring in the 20 minutes. Was the first goal. Then Carlos Valdez.
Yeah.
And the 49th minute. Then Teofilo Gutierrez, 62nd minute. Then Falcao, 86. And then Pablo Armero in 90 minutes.
I think we have been like quite unfair with Magnelli Torres in this program. We haven't talked that much about him. And he is one of the key players of Colombia. I know sometimes he's lazy. He's not playing as you expect, but when he's on fire, he's the brain of the team.
Yeah, at some point I thought that he was like 34 or something, but he's only 28. I mean, he's at the top of his game, but he's kind of lazy sometimes, that's true. And yeah, he's kind of those kind of players that are on and off, that sometimes they have like an amazing performance, and sometimes you just don't even see them. So I'm glad that we have some players that can play for them.
Yeah, against Chile in the last game, we're gonna talk later.
Yeah, exactly.
He was the one of the best guys of the pitch.
Okay, then we play Venezuela. That was the way. Do you remember where we play that game? Which city? I think it's a really hot city, right?
Maracaibo or
Puerto La Cruz.
Puerto La Cruz. It's like
have you guys ever been there?
No, but a friend of mine told me that it's like 38, 40, even hotter than Barranquilla.
Yeah, that's what I heard. It's even hotter than Barranquilla. So, yeah, that wasn't helpful. But then we play a decent game, I think.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad because we had chances. I remember, like, James Rodriguez has 2-3 chances. Falcao had a post almost at the end of the game.
Oh my god, yeah.
Yeah.
That was all over the net.
But once again, a big mistake of the defender. Like, they're all phantoms. Yeah. Went to Puerto La Cruz. And we lost again. 1-0 with a really silly mistake of Amaranto Perea. Unbelievable. Very similar to the same mistake he did in Barranquilla against the same rival.
Yeah, the goal was scored in the 14 minutes, so it was kind of early. So we had actually the whole game to come back, but we just couldn't.
Yeah, but
I remember we tried a lot. But
in the second half, we were just attacking, give a lot of space to Venezuela. Venezuela also had chances to score, but once again, the goalkeeper had a magnificent performance, I guess. He avoided, like, for us to lose 3-1.
Yeah, those are the games that are, like, kind of painful, because when you think that you can, like, come back, that you have the players to do it and you just don't do it, that's when you start thinking maybe we are not going to World Cup. Because that's been happening for the 3 last qualifications, so people in Colombia were pretty negative at the time, right?
Yeah, and losing against Venezuela is, I don't know, it's like when England lost against, I don't know, Argentina.
yeah, it's like that. I mean, you know, you guys know that you're a better team, but then you lose. Like, what the heck? okay, then we play Argentina. That's a game that if we don't win, it's fine. It's a game that you have into your account that you're. A draw is very good, right?
Yeah, but I think it was a really good game for Colombia, not because of the performance, but what means to play in Argentina, in Buenos Aires, with 70,000 people watching. I know Messi wasn't playing there, but they had Agüero, they had...
No, they have like tons of players Messi.
And they wanted to win against Colombia because everybody was talking that the best football was performed by Colombia.
At the time,
they were on the top and they had Messi. So they wanted to prove that it wasn't true and they couldn't. Because Colombia didn't allow them to do that. Obviously, there were like a couple of send-offs in the first half that changed the story of the game. But I think Colombia played well. I like it, that game. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I think we felt more confident than expected as the game went on. And it wasn't as nervous as you would expect to be in Argentina when they're really coming at you, but it looked, Colombia looked more solid than usual.
Yeah, definitely. Defenses were really good. I remember, I have to point out 2 performances. No, I would say 3. Goalkeeper, obviously.
Yeah, as usual, yeah.
Alex Mejia, he came in the second half, and he had to control Messi, and he did really well. And also...
Agüero. I think Messi wasn't playing that.
Messi.
In the second. Yeah, I'm sorry.
And then
yeah.
It was really, really clever for Beckerman, because when Messi got in, to the pitch, Pekelmans and Alexander Mejia straight away. I don't know if he was out, don't remember, I think he was on a midfielder.
No, he actually got in for Aguilar, but then he moved to the left side and he allowed Armero to go forward.
Yeah,
so that's what actually happened.
And also Falcao, and not he just had one chance in the whole game and he missed it, but he had a lot of sacrifice in that game.
Yeah, he's a very tactical player.
He was one defender. He knew that this is the kind of games for guys, like when you have to show your temper, when it's not technical, it's something more what is in the pitch.
Yeah, it was also a shame for Cristian Zapata because it was actually his first chance in the eliminatory, in the qualification, and then he was sent off after 20 minutes. Everyone was claiming why Cristian Zapata is not playing the national team because he plays for Milan every single game. So he's in the top of the game, and then he got his chance, and then he got sent off after 20 minutes. That was a shame. That completely changed the game because he was Higuain and Zapata who were sent off at the same time, right? And then tactically, the game completely changed, right? Okay,
And Jackson Martinez is cold, but in the upside, I don't know if he.
Yeah, he's been really unlucky in the
in the
qualifications. Yeah. Okay, after that, Colombia kind of lost some consistency in its football style. They still get important points, which is something that we need to point out here, because those games that we didn't play well, that we still got a point or 3 points. Those are the games they got through the World Cup, right? So then we play Colombia-Peru. But we'll be talking about that in the third part of the program. We'll be back.
Colombian Podcast is the only pod in English talking about Colombian football. You can listen to us on a weekly basis at worldfootballdaily.com.
Okay, welcome back. We were talking about how Colombia were playing really well, and after a couple of months, we saw like losing consistency in style, and but still like getting important points. Then we played Peru in Barranquilla, right? And that was 2-0. We won, but it wasn't a good game, right? We didn't play that well.
No, not really, but we had to win, because after like losing against Venezuela, consider a point, well, not consider a point, but just get 1 point in Argentina, we had to start like getting 3 points in the games, and we were playing at home, so we knew in Colombia that it was the last part of the qualifiers, that it was really important, every single point. And if we didn't want like to go for the last game, like asking for another result or be depend on the others, we had to win at home. And it was what we did against Peru. We played quite with ups and downs, I would say. I don't know, Luke, you
want to. Yeah, it's really important because at that point the group was so tight in the middle, like Uruguay, Chile, Ecuador, Colombia. They were separated by very few points, and with those teams coming up in this game, it was a must win before going on to play Ecuador and Uruguay and Chile. But that they need to pick up the points now.
Yeah, and also every time we are qualifying, we are playing the qualifiers, we usually win against Peru. So something like mentally, we have the 3 points in the pocket, right? And at the end, we scored 2 goals. That was by Falcao and Teofilo Gutierrez again, which is a good thing. Falcao scored in the 12th minute, the penalty kick, and then Teofilo Gutierrez scored in the 25th minute.
I have to say something about that. Like, bad memories came to everybody when Falcao was in front of the ball, because he missed a penalty in the American Cup, and that's one of the reasons we were like off the tournament.
And he missed a penalty against Peru, right?
Yeah. And the same, like, you know, very bad memories came to me in that moment. Fortunately, Falcao was like a better player at that time, and he scored.
Yeah, and he hasn't missed a penalty since then, so that's something that gives us some confidence. Someone was sent off, actually, Carlos Zambrano in 17 minutes, but that was just at the end of the game. He didn't change the game that much, right? Okay, then we play home Ecuador. Okay, I actually remember that game that we were celebrating at the end of the game, even though there were still three games to go, right? Because it was a very important game. So then we had to go to Uruguay to make that extra point that we needed, but we just couldn't quite make it. What happened in that game?
Well, I guess the key thing is that Zúñiga couldn't play, so the manager just throws in a young guy that is not a bad player, but he wasn't ready for that kind of games, especially if you're playing Uruguay against Uruguay in Montevideo with 50,000 people, with Cavani, with Suarez, with Cebolla. You cannot put a like 21 years old player there.
We were talking about Stefan Medina, right?
Yeah.
He looked young. He looked out of his depth in the game, and especially with Suarez having his suspension at Liverpool, so he was coming into this game very fresh, very motivated to play well.
He played with Fourier, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he was into the game, definitely, but he was just like looked insecure. He didn't have the experience. I mean, he's been playing for Nacional for like 2 years or something like that.
But I think Pekerman was impressed because of his performance in the Colombian final against Santa Fe. He did really well, but one thing is playing against Santa Fe. I have nothing against Santa Fe, but another thing is to play against Uruguay
in Montevideo
with top players, world top players,
two of the best strikers in the world.
Easily, yeah, that's right. So we just we lost 2-0. Edison Cavani scored at 77 minutes, and then Christian Estuani, which I think is also a really young player. I think he's a defender, and he scored at 80 minutes. So he was just at the end of the game. It was a shame.
Yeah, we didn't play that bad before the first goal. We had the control of the game. We had some chances too. But again, Colombia concede things in the defender. Oh, the defenders didn't do really well. Not just because of Medina, because the other defenders didn't do well too. Like Yepes had a terrible mistake. And also, we didn't get the goals or get the chances to score the goal. And once again, Jackson was really unlucky.
Yeah, he was just unlucky. I think he played well, but he was
every
just
time he played for Colombia, we lost.
He's an amazing striker, but
we draw. So
yeah, I guess he needs more minutes in the national team.
Have you seen that game, Luke?
Yeah, I saw the game. It was strange at the end. It was it looked like Colombia had the draw, had what they needed, and then it all fell apart in the last 10 minutes.
Okay, so then we can get that point. So we had to come back to Colombia, to Barranquilla, and play Chile, which was the team at the time who was playing the best, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Alexis Sanchez was on fire. Gary Medel, they had this... what's the name of the guy who's playing for Juventus?
Arturo Vidal.
Arturo Vidal was at the top of his game.
Yeah,
I think he's the best box-to-box tenacious midfielder in the world at the moment. Vidal is playing.
Yeah, definitely. Incredibly. But guys, I cannot talk that much about that game because I just listened the game in the hospital.
But you know what happened, right?
Yeah.
It was like first half played in Barranquilla ever, and then a remarkable comeback that we had to qualify with the style, right? Do you watch that game, Luke?
I saw Colombia's goals, yeah. I missed the Chile goals on my way from the airport.
It was just a strange game. We played really bad in the first half. I could say we were actually unlucky about the first goal. Then the other two goals, Stefan Medina again had something to do with it, and also Amaranto Perea. But then Pekerman, he realized that everything was going just wrong, so he got Freddy Guarín and Magnelli Torres in. So for the second half, we knew that Chile was really tired, and then we started like keeping the ball full 45 minutes, and it was just a matter of time to score at least one or two goals. But we ended up scoring three goals. It doesn't matter that it was true penalty, two of them, but we actually deserved it. And the stadium just blew up. Everyone was just really happy. I guess you guys were into that as well.
Yeah, yeah. It was really happy.
And it was the key game for the qualification, and that was pretty much it. Anything else to say about this game?
It's such a big boost coming back from three goals down. It's bigger than the win, really. You can scrape a 1-0 win, but coming back from 3-0 down, everyone went crazy. The atmosphere was incredible, and going into the World Cup with that character, with that belief that you can come back from any result now.
Especially when you are playing against a really good team. It wasn't an accident that Chile scored three goals in the first half.
No, they
maybe it was
an
accident for the defender's performance, but not for the Chilean.
Not for the game.
Yeah.
No,
and when we have these sort of comebacks, and especially if this comeback is taking us to the World Cup, it's just something really special, something that Colombia will not forget for many years. I think this game is as important as the 5-0 against Argentina after 4-4 in 1962 World Cup, when we had a similar comeback.
Yeah.
And it was good because I think Chileans were talking too much, and Colombia showed them that football is not just talking, but playing, and football is for men.
Yeah, okay, so we got Arturo Vidal scoring in the 18th minute, then Alexis Sanchez in the 21st, and then 29th minute. Then we came back with Teofilo Gutierrez again in the 69th minute, and then Falcao twice in the 74th and 83rd minute by penalty kicks. Okay, and at the end we just played Paraguay. We actually were playing something in that game, right?
Yeah, we had the chance to be, for the first time ever, a top seed in the World Cup.
And we needed to win this game in order to get that, right?
Yeah, because of the draw against Chile. So we had to pick up those points because the teams behind us had games, quite easy games, in the same day. So we definitely must win that game.
And we got off to a terrible start. Conceded early goal, and then a red card to Freddy Guarín, and it was not looking good just before
at
half
all
time.
That was another comeback. We were one player down, and Freddy Guarín, I think, was really eager because he was in the first team for like many games, and it was his chance to get a position. And he was just so eager, and he just got two stupid fouls, then he just got sent off, right? And then, I don't know how we came back. It was actually really well played by Pekerman again, right?
Yeah, because he did a good move. He put Cuadrado into the game, if I'm not wrong. He
And
said,
Aldo Leao.
yeah, Aldo Leao, and he said like we have nothing to lose, but a lot of
Exactly.
things to win, and it worked it out. Like Colombia scored twice by
Unlikely scorer.
yeah, but a really
Yeah.
criticized guy because after the Chilean game, everybody were talking. Okay, I think the defenders are like too old. We should change it, but in this game against Paraguay, we showed that Colombia is a mix between like former players that can bring us experience and young players that give us an air fresh.
Yeah, Yepes is the experienced man of the squad. He's played in different countries, he's won different things, so he leads that back four, and in this game he stood up. He was there, he was scoring. Scored two goals, and it was a big shock.
It was actually his second or third goal in the Colombian team ever.
Ever,
So
yeah.
that was quite good for him. Actually, I remember him being really happy because because he's also the captain. So, okay, before wrapping it up, I'd like you to give me your top three players of the Colombian team in these qualifiers.
Okay, I'm going with Falcao,
Okay.
James Rodriguez,
James Rodriguez.
and the goalkeeper.
And the goalkeeper. Yeah, Ospina.
I'd have to agree, I think. Ospina, I think, is number one for me. Consistently performing well, and I think he's grown so much during the campaign as well. Ospina is
He
on the map
played.
now.
Yeah, he played all the games, by the way.
And Falcao has scored important goals throughout. I think I'll put Yepes in there though, because I think his leadership. I think he has been Peckerman on the pitch. I think he's been organizing the games.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, I would agree with you guys, like definitely Falcao because he's our striker and he's always scoring goals. James Rodriguez because he's always like best performing in every game. And David Ospina, the goalkeeper, because he's just been amazing. He's been growing up so much during this campaign. So I have to say that he shut my mouth because I didn't
Yeah,
believe in him, and now I think he's a top goalkeeper.
but I think if the listeners have like different opinions, maybe they can tweet us, use Twitter or.
Okay, I guess it's time to wrap it up now. Follow us in callfootballpodcast.wordpress.com, which is callfootballpodcast.wordpress.com. And worldfootballdaily.com. We also have a Twitter, which is callfootballpod. Okay, thanks for listening and see you next week. Bye.
Love that.